This afternoon, if you have your Bibles, and turn with me to 1 Kings. We're going to continue our study following 2 Samuel. We finished 2 Samuel on Wednesday evening, and we're coming now to 1 Kings, which is a continuation of the events that were occurring at the end of 2 Samuel. At the end of 2 Samuel, David was growing older, and we saw that in one of the last battles he was in, he couldn't fight the way he used to fight, and others had to take up the charge, the standard for him. And now we're seeing that David is failing in his health, and he has another son that is not, he is the full brother of Absalom, Adonijah, and he has got the spirit of his brother. Put it that way. And that's what we're going to be studying today, is who's going to take over the kingdom and how important it is for us to raise up men, young men, to take our positions, who are going to have the same insight and desires that we possess when we are gone. And this is what David is facing as he's coming to the end of his life. Now, King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heed. Just a pause, there are many people when they get older, and their hearts begin to fail, their bodies just can't stay warm. If you've ever gone into a nursing home, and go into people's rooms in the nursing home, it seems like they have it at about 90 degrees in there and they're cold. Well, it's because your circulation slows down, and this was happening to David. And wherefore, his servants said unto him, "Let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heed." So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coasts of Israel, and found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair and cherished the king and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. In other words, he didn't have this young maiden to have sexual relations with her. That's what they're saying. But rather, she was there to give him comfort and try and keep him warm. And then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, that's the same mother that was Absalom's mother, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. Now what Abishag is doing is he is stating to the people, after Adonijah, what Adonijah is doing is stating to the people that he was king, because he was doing everything the king would do. He has gathered chariots and horses. He's got men that run before the chariots and horses. It's like he's putting together an army to show the people that he's in charge. And not only that, we're going to see he's going to do many other things as well. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, "Why hast thou done so?" And also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. And I just want to pause here. David, just like he had with Absalom, did not really talk to Adonijah and say, "What are you doing?" He didn't criticize Absalom when Absalom started to do the same thing. And also I would say that their mother had something to do with this, because she's the mother of both boys, and she wanted her sons to become king. And she really disregarded David and ignored what David's desires were. She did not go to David and ask him, "What are your desires as to who's to be king when you pass away?" She didn't do that. She just instilled in her sons an attitude of, "You take over the throne, so when your father dies, you are there, and the people will follow you." That was her attitude. And it was really an attitude of rebellion against David. In And it was also an attitude really ultimately of rebellion against God. And so we see that verse 7, and he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and Zeruiah, and with Abathar, the priest, and they following Adonijah helped him. Now, I want you to see he's putting together a coalition of people that had been David's counselors and confidants. Joab had been in charge of all of David's army. We see that Abathar was a priest during the time of David, and David had confided in Abathar as well. And now he's taking these people and making a council with them and putting together really a government, if you would. And Zadok the priest and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada and Nathan the prophet and Shimei and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David, were not with Adonijah. It's interesting to look at the people that aren't with him, and that gives you insight into the character of Adonijah, and it also shows you that Adonijah is up to no good, because those that have been most loyal and true to David, those that have not in the past aligned themselves or done things that were questionable, which are the ones that Adonijah doesn't call into counsel, and he doesn't go and seek their advice. And also we're going to see that later on, you see that when people really don't want to know the truth, they don't go to those who know the truth. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when he became king, he didn't go to the counselors that had been the counselors with his father Solomon. He went to all his friends to seek counsel on how to rule the kingdom. Why? Because he knew what the answer was going to be if he went to his father's counselors. He didn't want that answer. He wanted what his friends had to say. The same thing is true here. Adonijah knows exactly what he's doing and who he places around himself, who will not give David the time or the respect to tell him what's going on. And he doesn't go to those who would question what Adonijah's doing and say, don't do it. Now, he goes on in verse 9. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zolaleth, and which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But Nathan the prophet and Benaniah and the mighty men and Solomon his brother, he called not. It's interesting again, those that he calls together for this great feast. Now, this feast was going to be a feast where he was going to proclaim himself to be king. That was the purpose of this feast. And so he got all of those gathered together around him who would be supportive of the fact that he was now proclaiming himself to be king. And he put on a big feast for them, buying their allegiance with food. And buying their allegiance with this feast. And also, he's making it appear like this is God's will, when God has nothing to do with it. False prophets, false teachers, false leaders, they'll always do that. They'll present things as if God is in it. They'll try to surround themselves with people that appear to be God's people, and they'll ignore those that are really of the Lord, and they won't have anything to do with them. And when questions arise, then they can say, well, they weren't even here to support us, so they don't know what's going on. And really, the same thing is happening today. You can see today that you've got people that are proclaiming that revival is coming, and they surround themselves with false teachers. And when people who know the scriptures say, but the scriptures say, things are going to get worse and worse, how can you say things are going to get better and better? Then they say, well, you just are not against what God is doing in the lives of these men, and you're not for what God is doing, and you need to be quiet. That's really what Satan is using the same tactic here with Adonijah. Those that know the truth, keep them away. And don't let them confuse the rest of the people with the facts or the truth. So it goes on. And it says, but Nathan the prophet and Benaniah and the mighty men and Solomon his brother, he called not. Wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, hast thou not heard that Adonijah the son of Haggith doth reign, and David our Lord knoweth it not? Now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel, that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. I want you to pause here. Nathan is very wise. He knows what Adonijah is about. You know that Adonijah realizes his father has always made it known that Solomon would be the one that would be taking the throne. So in order for Adonijah to take the throne, Solomon has to be out of the way. And one of the reasons he didn't invite Solomon or Bathsheba is he wants them separated, and his intent is to kill them. Then they won't be a threat to him. They won't be in his way. Nathan knows this. The Lord has revealed this to Nathan. And Nathan goes to Bathsheba and tells her, this is the plan. Go and get thee in unto King David and say unto him, didst thou, my Lord, O King, swear unto thine handmaid, saying, assuredly Solomon, my son, shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. Why then doth Adonijah reign? And so Nathan tells Bathsheba, go and present the facts to the king and let him know what's happening. Now, God's intent was for Solomon to reign. God's intent was not for Adonijah to reign. And so we see Nathan is really doing what the Lord desires. Behold, while thou yet talkest there with the king, I will also come in after thee and confirm thy words. And what he's saying is, when you're in with the king, I will show up and I'll confirm that everything you're saying is exactly right. Plus, David believes that maybe Bathsheba heard things wrong, got it misconstrued, is just trying to state things that really aren't that way. Nathan's going to come in and confirm everything that she says. And Bathsheba went in unto the king, into the chamber, and the king was very old. And Abiathar, the Shunammite, ministered unto the king, and Bathsheba showed and did obeisance unto the king. And the king said, what wouldest thou? And she said unto him, my Lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thine handmaid, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. And now behold, Adonijah reigneth, and now my Lord the king, thou knowest it not. And he hath slain oxen and a fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and hath called all the sons of the king, and Abiathar the priest, and Joab the captain of the host, but Solomon thy servant hath he not called. Thou, my Lord, O King, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that thou shouldest tell them who shall sit on the throne of my Lord, the King, after him. Otherwise it shall come to pass, when my Lord, the King, shall sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders. And really what she's telling David, we'll be counted against what Adonijah is doing, and will be put to death. All Israel is watching. And really what Adonijah is doing by inviting all these people and holding this feast and proclaiming himself king is the exact same thing that Absalom did, trying to appeal to people and get them to like him for what he can give them. Isn't that what Absalom did? He came and said, oh, the king doesn't have time for you, but I'll give you counsel, and I'll tell you what you need to hear, and I'll be your friend, because the king doesn't have time to do that. Now, if Solomon was going to be king, why wouldn't he be holding this feast for you? I'm going to hold this feast for you, and that I am going to show you that really I'm to be the one that's king. And he's buying their loyalty with material goods, and really it's kind of a form of flattery that they would be so considered by Adonijah, who's going to be the next king, that he'd have them come in into his inner circle. And so they fall for this, and it's the same tactics that Absalom used. And lo, while he yet talked with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in. And they told the king, saying, "Behold, Nathan the prophet, when he was come in before the king, he bowed himself before the king with his face to the ground." And Nathan said, "My lord, O king, hast thou said, Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon the throne?" Now, what is Nathan's contact with David, and what would David see in Nathan? Nathan was the one that confronted David when he had committed sin with Bathsheba and had her husband Uriah put to death by Joab in the battle, having him put to the front and then withdrawing all the troops. He was also the one that confronted David and gave him the parable and then told him that he was the man because he had stolen Uriah's wife. And David knew the type of character Nathan had. He was not someone who was a flatterer. He was not someone who would come in and try and tell you things because he wanted it a certain way. But he really, truly was a man of God who would proclaim the truth, even though it could cost him dearly. Nathan could have been killed by David for bringing that confrontation of what he had done with Bathsheba and Uriah to his attention, but instead it caused David to repent. And we see that Nathan comes in now with news, and as he's saying this news, begins with a question: "Did you do this? Did you make Adonijah king?" And for he has gone down this day and has slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and hath called all the king's sons and the captains of the host and Abiathar the priest, and behold, they eat and drink before him, saying, "God save King Adonijah." And so they're praising Adonijah already as the king. "But me, even me, my thy servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, and thy servant Solomon, hath he not called?" Those that were most true to David, and those that had always been totally honest with David, and laid out before him what the Lord's will was, were called. And Nathan tells David this, because he wants David to understand, this isn't God's will. And "Is this thing done by my lord the king, and thou hast not showed it unto thy servant, who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? You haven't showed it to me, who should be done, but yet have you showed it to all of these people?" Then King David answered and said, "Call me Bathsheba." It's interesting that David calls Bathsheba because he had told Bathsheba that Solomon would reign. And so he calls her, and she came in unto the king's presence, and she stood before the king. And the king sware and said, "As the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress." And Bathsheba would know that distress that that David's soul had been delivered out of, because she had been involved in that sin, and God had redeemed David and forgiven David. "Even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day." And so David is saying, what I have said is what will happen, and it doesn't matter what another one of my sons and another one of my wives have concocted up to do, it's not going to happen, because this is what will happen. "Then Bathsheba showed with her face to the earth, or bowed with her face to the earth, and did reverence the king and said, 'Let my lord King David live forever.' And King David said, call me Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before the king. The king also said unto them, take with you the servants of your Lord and cause Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule and bring him down to Gihon. Now, what is the significance of riding on David's mule? Everybody knew who David's mule was. That was the king's mule. And by Solomon riding on it, it was a statement that he was now the king. Also, he was sending the three men that had the authority to anoint the next king with him and to go before him, that they could anoint him. And that Adonijah was not going to be anointed the king. The king also said unto them, take with you the servants of your Lord and cause Solomon my son to ride upon my mule and bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel. And blow ye the trumpet and say, God save King Solomon. And then ye shall come up after him, that he may come and sit upon my throne, for he shall be king in my stead, and I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Jordan. What David was doing was preventing another civil war from happening, and David was establishing Solomon as his king, as the next king, and David was telling them to do all this, and as a mark, there's three things that he's going to do. Anoint him with oil. Adonijah was not anointed with oil. Secondly, Solomon was to ride upon David's mule. Adonijah did not ride upon David's mule, the king's stead, steed. And the third thing is, he was to sit upon David's throne. Adonijah did not have the permission nor the authority to sit on the throne of David, just like Absalom did not have the authority. Absalom tried to come into Jerusalem and take over Jerusalem and take the throne by might, by war, but Adonijah had tried to take the throne by cunning. Neither one of them would have it. David wasn't going to allow this to happen either. And so the nation can see who is the next king. And Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, amen, the Lord God, my Lord, the king, say so too. And the Lord hath then, with the Lord, the king, even so be he with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord, King David. So Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites, and the Pelethites went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. And Zadok the high priest took the horn of oil out of the tabernacle. And it's interesting to see this too. They took it out of the tabernacle, showing that it was God's anointing, not just David's, of Solomon, and anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon. And all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. And by the earth renting, it means it literally shook. There was such a great celebration going on as Solomon had now been appointed king. Well, what happens is Adonijah and his smaller party hear the noise of the larger group of people and are wondering what's going on. And Adonijah and all the guests that were with him heard it, so that they had made an end of eating. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, wherefore is this noise of the city being in the uproar? Joab knew that trumpets were only blown when there was a great event that occurred. Trumpets were blown at the time of war. Trumpets were blown to call people to worship. Trumpets were blown to come and acknowledge the king. And while he yet spake, behold, Jonathan the son of Abiathar the priest came, and Adonijah said unto him, come in, for thou art a valiant man, and bringest good tidings. Now, Jonathan had been the one that ran before when David was fleeing from Absalom, and he was the one that was the bearer of news then as well. Well, he's bringing news now, but it's not going to be good news for Adonijah. Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, "Verily, our Lord King David hath made Solomon king, and the king hath sent with him Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites, and the Pelethites, and they have caused him to ride upon the king's mule. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king of Gion, king in Gion. And they are come up from thence rejoicing, so that the city rang again. This is the noise that ye have heard. And also Solomon sitteth on the throne in the kingdom. And moreover, the king's servants came to bless our Lord, King David, saying, God make the name of Solomon better than thy name, and make his throne greater than thy throne. And the king bowed himself upon the bed. And so thus said the king, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which hath given one to sit on my throne this day, mine eyes seeing it. And all the guests that were in Adonijah were afraid, and rose up, and went every man his way. They were fleeing like rats trying to get off a ship when it was sinking. Why? Because they knew they had picked the wrong side, and they had listened to the wrong counsel, and they'd been taken in by the lies of Adonijah, who had said he was going to be the king, and that David had really anointed him king when he hadn't. And we see that people will do this often to us. They'll try and deceive us to get us to believe something that's not true and ignore the truth of God and replace the truth of God with that which isn't true. That's one of Satan's great tactics. And that's exactly what he'd done here. But when the people realized what had happened, they fled. Why? They realized their lives could be in peril. They had really been in rebellion against King David. They'd been in rebellion against Israel. And they, by believing these lies. And it was told Solomon saying, in verse 50, and Adonijah feared because of Solomon and arose and went and caught hold of the horns of the altar. Well, if Adonijah hadn't done anything wrong, why would he flee and catch hold of the horns of the altar? By catching hold of the horns of the altar, he was seeking a place of mercy in the eyes of the one who would be seeking his life. In other words, he knew Solomon had every right to come and punish Adonijah for what he'd done. And so he goes and he grabs onto the horns of the altar, showing he's pleading for mercy, because he knows what he's done is wrong. And he knows that Solomon would be justified in coming after him. And it was told Solomon, saying, Behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon, for lo, he hath caught hold of the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with the sword. Now, I want you to see Solomon. Solomon is going to be merciful. Solomon is going to be gracious. But Solomon is also going to give a statement that demands justice. And if justice will not be met, then what Solomon's saying will be set aside. So, and Solomon said, if he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not a hair of him fall to the earth, but if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. Now, what is a worthy man? A worthy man in the eyes of Solomon is someone who would be loyal to Israel, be loyal to God, and be loyal to Solomon. If he shows himself to be those things, nothing's going to happen to him. But if he allows wickedness to come into his heart, and he rises up in rebellion against God, against Israel, and against Solomon, he will die. there will be real consequences for his choices. And I want you to understand, God says there are consequences for our choices. And this is true in the life of Adonijah. Solomon showed him mercy, extended grace, and yet demanded that justice would always be upheld. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and bowed himself to the king Solomon, and Solomon said unto him, "Go to thine house." In other words, go thy way. I'm not going to do anything. But we're going to see on Wednesday, it didn't last long. It'll probably be next Sunday. We'll see if it didn't last long. I want you to understand, when you have someone who really isn't repentant, but they're just filled with fear, their true behavior and attitudes don't change, and that's going to be the case of Adonijah. He lusted after the power of being king, and it didn't matter that what David's or God's will were. And even though for a time he says, "I'm going to be loyal to you," his loyalty was only as deep as his lust to be covered up. And the minute his lust would rise to the future, his loyalty would be gone. Let's just step out in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to see Satan's tactics. They haven't changed today. He tries to deceive people, to get people to believe that which is a lie as the truth, and that which is the truth to be a lie. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to be men of the, and women of the character of Nathan, and those that stood with him, proclaiming the truth to David, and that we would be like David in desire to see the truth done and fulfilled. Lord, now go with us and help us to do that which would be honoring to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Closing, if you'll turn with me to hymn number 551. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren